Good morning, y'all. Have a small gathering this morning. We have some people out sick, some people out of town. The good news on that is Big Dave's mom is going to be moving up here soon. He's down there helping her get moved up here to her new house in Glenrose. So she's going to be closer instead of being all the way down in Llano by herself. And we've got a few other people that are out traveling and whatnot. So still going to be a good time. So over the last few weeks, we've been talking about marriage, as you guys know. And we started off by letting you guys know that we're not alone in our marriage problems. We've all got different things going on with our marriages. And any time that we start thinking that it's only us, there's only something going on in our marriage, then we're not alone. There's a lot of people out there having the same kind of problems, and a lot of people have figured out a way to get through the different problems. So with a 50% success rate in marriages, we need to look at how we can be married God's way and obedient to Him. And if we focus on His words and the way that He teaches us, then we're going to find the success that He intended in our marriages, and that's what we've been learning about. So we also talked about how we need to fight for our marriage instead of in our marriage. We talked with the guys that we should never tap out. We should never give it up. The same way that Jesus went all the way to the cross and He never once gave up on His bride, us, the church. And then last week, we had Amber up here, and she shared from her heart a few things that the ladies can do to help out in their marriage, because she's had a difficult one being married to a guy that was a major jerk for a whole lot of years and is trying to get better with every passing day. So this week we're going to be looking at the next thing that I think is important in marriage, and that is communication. And then next Friday night is when we start the Art of Marriage deal, and then Saturday we wrap that up, and Sunday we're going to wrap up this series, and we're going to talk about forgiveness, which is a big one. But before we get started into this whole communication thing, I wanted to play this video again. It's kind of like a little ad for Art of Marriage, and it's also funny, and it's about communication.
Men, how many times has this happened to you?
Me. You know, our babies sleep really, really good.
Or this.
Make sure Timmy wears the blue shirt. If he doesn't...
Or even this.
And for my birthday, which is next month, I'd really like some...
Do you have trouble listening or retaining information from your wife? You could be suffering from spousal selective listening, or SSL. With SSL, valuable input is intercepted or scrambled before it reaches the critical learning center of the man brain. Virtually anything can trigger it, like sports, food, even shiny objects with buttons. Fortunately, there is help with Hiratol. Containing a rare root with an exotic name, Hiratol helps men focus and listen to valuable female input, even pick up on those subtle hints.
These are exactly the earrings I wanted. How did you know?
Thanks, Hiratol. Now I can hear it all.
Hiratol has not been tested or approved by any regulatory agency. Side effects with Hiratol include minor to severe headaches and spontaneous combustion. Use caution when using Hiratol to your mother's involved, as you may hear hurtful comments that would have previously been ignored. Hiratol is an enhancement drug. Do not use around children or clusters of talkative or blue-haired women. If focused listening lasts longer than 4 hours, consult your doctor immediately before your wife assumes this is a new standard in your relationship. Men with wives who are nursing or pregnant should not take this product. Hiratol, the preferred selection or solution for selective hearing.
Wow, it ended up way off there by the end, huh? It's not a great recording there. I should have re-downloaded it from YouTube this morning. So, Hiratol, so that we can communicate better. How many of you guys could probably use some Hiratol? Yeah, Thurman's like, what now? I wasn't listening. So, one that starts off by telling a story about a counselor was interviewing a woman regarding her marriage problems, and he asked, what are the grounds for this meeting? And she replied, well, about 4 acres and a nice little home in the middle of the property with a stream running by. And he's like, no, I mean, what's the foundation of the problem? And she said, it's made of concrete and it's brick and mortar. And he's like, no, I mean, like, what are your relations like? And she's like, well, I've got an aunt and an uncle that live here in town, and also my husband's parents. And he's trying to figure out what's going on. He's like, "What do you have a real grudge?" And she's like, "No, we have a two car carport, but we've never really needed one." He's like, "Please, I'm trying to understand what's happening here. Is there some kind of infidelity in your marriage?" And she's like, yeah, both my son and daughter have stereo sets, and we don't necessarily like music, but the answer to your question is yes. He's like, ma'am, does your husband beat you up? And she's like, yes. About twice a week, he beats me up in the morning and gets up a little bit before I do. So then he's starting to get more frustrated. He's like, lady, why are you even here? He said, oh, I just want to help my marriage. I never even wanted to come here today, but my husband wanted to. He says that he can't communicate with me. Have you guys been there? So I'm trying to get some stuff across, and it's not being heard right on the other end, and so there's some miscommunications, and that's what us husbands kind of do. And I want to go back to the toothbrush story from a few weeks ago that Amber and I had, and now I've had more time to analyze that and understand it and see where it wasn't my fault. Okay, I'm going to take responsibility. But what kind of happened is whenever Amber came in, the miscommunication that we had was that she was trying to explain to me that she had bought a new toothbrush and put it into the little thing. And what I was hearing was that she thought that my toothbrush was a new one in there. And I'm like, no, I've had that toothbrush for a long time, several months at least. And she's like, no, it's a new one in there. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, I would know if I had a new toothbrush. This thing is several months old, and you're thinking that it's new. Long story short, throws a toothbrush, and later on we apologize, and we kind of get onto the same page, and I understand that she's trying to tell me that she has bought a new toothbrush, and it is now in there. In my brain, she was trying to explain that that she was trying to tell me that my toothbrush was new whenever I knew that it wasn't. So it was like she was having a hard time hearing me over her own being right, and I was doing the same thing, and then we end up in this predicament. So today what I want to look at is there's like a variety of different ways we can end up on a different page. We can come into our houses with a bad attitude that we've gotten from work for the day. We can have a bad day because our car broke down or something's wrong with our motorcycle, and we can bring these things into the house, and then next thing you know, we're on a different page, and we're starting to communicate in a variety of ways, being angry or whatever, and we start saying things, they're hearing something different, and so they're communicating back from that, and it just ends up with this big kind of a mess. So today I want to look at one scripture that I think will help us to understand God's way of communication, and it's really good for marriages, and it's all solved in like one sentence by James, who was Jesus' half-brother. And he says this, and you guys probably already have heard this one many times before, but I'm going to read it anyway. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So, what happens whenever we're quick to speak? Bless you. You need CPR? Are you good? All right. Thurman's going to survive it. So what happens whenever we're quick to speak instead of hearing? Well, King Solomon, who was said to be the wisest king ever, says this in Proverbs 18 and verse 13. He says, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame for him. I know that Amber gets aggravated with me whenever she starts talking about something and I'm not really listening, and so at the end of whatever she's saying, I will either say, yeah, or one of her least favorite things, whatever. So I say whatever. When in my brain, I'm like, you know, whatever, just I don't want to talk about this anymore. I wouldn't stop listening a long time ago. I'm doing something different. And in her brain, whatever means she gets to do whatever it is that she was asking that she could do. So then several weeks later, we end up with this thing where I'm either involved in this thing for work where I have to go to this big fancy dinner and a hotel and all this stuff. and it's just saying, you know, whatever. Or anything can happen. You know, it can be some kind of a other deal where I just like, you know, whatever. And then she goes and, you know, signs me up for doing something that I didn't really want to do, but I'm the one that said whatever, or yeah, just to kind of end the conversation and move on. And so we end up with irritation whenever it gets close to that time. She's like, hey, don't forget that tomorrow, XYZ, whatever it is that we're supposed to be doing, that I inadvertently agreed to. Because, huh? Does anybody say whatever I did agree? So whenever I do that, though, I'm not helping our communication. We're not on the same page as we're communicating. Instead, I'm like, I'm aggravating her and I'm getting her onto the defensive. But to me, I'm just like tired and exhausted and tired of listening to whatever it is, because Amber and I are very different. We're on different pages when it comes to communication. Like for me, I want to know A, B, C, D, E. I want the facts, and then I can make a decision based on the facts. But Amber wants to do A and then sub one, sub two, and then subs underneath of that, and lay out all the different details for something to be able to make a decision. I'm just like, I just need kind of like the highlighted points. And whenever I'm at work, sometimes what I'll do is I send out exhaustive emails, and Patrick has received some of them, where I try to, like, you know, I put these points on there, but I also have a lot of stuff underneath of, because some people that we work with, they just want the highlights, they want to know what's going on. There's other people that they want the details of all the different little things, so I try to do both of those. But whenever I'm at home, I'm not capable of that, because I guess I put Amber in a different spot and think that she should be able to read me whenever I'm just given like the bullet points, but sometimes she wants more information, and then she'll ask a question and I answer that with a short answer, and then I start getting more aggravated as time goes on and trying to communicate what she's wanting to hear, but at the same time not just bore myself to death with trying to communicate and all these little details. And sometimes it's because I don't know the details. I was told the facts, and the facts is all that I really know. And it's like, okay, that's good, we'll do that, or whatever. So it can be some problems. So with any communication, though, but especially with our wives, we really need to be careful to be quick to hear. We need to listen. We need to listen to what they're saying, hear out the whole part, and then we need to be able to answer. If we don't listen to everything, we may miss something that they're trying to communicate, and then we end up in one of these predicaments that I find myself in frequently, which aren't a good thing. So whenever we listen, and even whenever, you know, it's tough, sometimes good to keep our mouth shut and just listen to what they have to say, and then give our answer after that. But that leads us into the next thing that James says here, that we need to be slow to speak. Because after we've listened, we also need to take the time to carefully think through our thoughts before we start speaking, before we say something. This is communication stuff. It's like for marriages, or it's also for just, you know, in our work environment or in our everyday lives. We need to listen to people, and then we need to answer them after we've thought about our answer for a little bit. That way we're not wishy-washy and changing, and our yes is yes, and that sort of thing. So whenever we're trying to communicate effectively, it's very important to think that through. Otherwise, you end up with kind of like that whatever, or you can say something that you, because you weren't listening very well, you can say something quick and short and answer wrong, and it can just end up with this kind of a mess. How many of you guys have heard the saying, you put your foot in your mouth? Yeah, I put my foot in my mouth a lot of times. In our marriage and at work and in life, I've said things that just totally came out completely and totally wrong, and then you end up with your foot in your mouth. So if we're not paying attention, close attention to what it is that's coming out of our mouth, then we can have some kind of an attitude, and it's going to reflect. If we have a bad attitude, that will reflect in what we say if we haven't thought it all the way through. Instead of speaking in a loving manner and in a way that is edifying and encouraging, we can be tearing down and saying something. That's part of that. We need to forgive old things instead of bringing up old things into our marriage. We have to let those things go, and we have to say something that's going to be encouraging and loving. The Apostle Paul says in Colossians 4:6, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know you ought to answer each one." So he's saying that we need to let our words be full of grace and be loving and be truthful. And he also said, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." So Paul is trying to tell us there, he's trying to say that we've got to think about what we're saying, and we have to meditate on those things, because what is in our heart is what's going to come out of our mouth, right? So if we're not careful of what's in our heart, we're meditating on the wrong things, then we can have things come out of our mouth toward our spouse or towards our friends or towards our coworkers or whatever that isn't necessarily what we should be communicating to people. So before we speak, we need to listen, and then we also need to consider that the words that we speak come out in love and that we're speaking truthful. And sometimes whenever we have to say something truthful that we know isn't going to be accepted right, we have to figure out a way to deliver that in a loving way. And I fail at that sometimes too. I've said a number of things over the last many years that I could take back if it were possible, but unfortunately once you've said something, once it leaves your mouth, then there's no take back, so you can only ask for forgiveness for that. So we have to be careful on the stones that we throw out there, which, by the way, that old saying about sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Words can hurt a lot, especially whenever they come from the person that you love the most in this world, from your spouse. So we have to be careful of the words that we throw out there, because they can hurt a lot worse than a stick or stone. That's not to say throw a stick or stone at somebody, but words can definitely hurt you. So the last thing that he says is we need to be slow to anger. And I've talked several times that sometimes I can have anger issues. And it goes all the way back to my teenage years, whenever I could really have some anger issues. And I still have managed to have a short fuse a lot of times, but that's something that I'm working on. In the last few years, it has gotten much better. And in the last several months, I think it has gotten even better. I can still be quick to get angry, and that's something that I'm working on, but it's still something that can cause us problems. Like Amber can say something to me that, we talked about this too, she can say something and I don't want to talk about that, or for whatever reason it just hits me wrong, and I can instantly go into a angry mode, and then we start communicating on an angry level, and we're not really communicating at all. We're just, you know, more or less throwing words back and forth and causing more problems in a relationship. And then we end up having to apologize later and all that kind of thing. So we need to be sure that we don't get angry. And one of the things that I was thinking of as I was thinking about anger, and we studied this not long ago in the Bible study in the morning here, is the story of Cain and Abel. And what happened with Cain and Abel, in case you've forgotten, is they were the sons of Adam and Eve, and Cain, he raised vegetables, and he, you know, plowed the ground, and he worked the ground, and so he raised up the vegetables. Well, his brother Abel was like a shepherd. He took care of animals, and whenever the time came for their sacrifices, they both took, you know, some of their stuff. Cain takes a bunch of his vegetables, which I completely understand why that might not go over well with God, because I wouldn't want a bunch of vegetables either. Anyway, that's beside the point. So he takes the vegetables, and then his brother Abel, he takes the meat before God. And God loved the aroma, and he gave honor to Abel, and so that upset Cain. He got mad that God had accepted the gift of his brother but didn't really accept his. So he starts to get angry, and then he's having a conversation with God. And God says in Genesis 4:7, "If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, then sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." So he's telling him that you've got this anger going on here, and if you're not careful, then it's going to end up causing you some more problems. And what problem did it cause with Cain and Abel? Murdered his brother. He went out and killed his... So he let that fester and let that turn into something bad, and he went out and killed his brother. And that was... I don't think that was the way that it was intended at all, but he just let that fester. And that was the first murder that we read about in the Bible, was whenever Cain killed his brother. So we have to be careful that if we start to feel like we're getting angry, then we need to stop and get control of that, and we need to ask for forgiveness, and we need to apologize, and we need to end that stuff so that we don't let that fester up and just get us more and more angry. Because from what I've seen, if I start getting angry, then Amber starts getting angry, and then I get angrier, and so on and so forth, and it builds up into this big old mess where we both end up just rolling over and going to sleep mad. And then the next morning I wake up and I forgot that we ever fought, and she's still angry at me. So later, whenever I ask for something, then she's still mad and I can't figure out why. And then she reminds me and I'm like, oh yeah, I did do that. Well, I'm sorry, babe, and I'm trying to move on, but sometimes it's not quite that easy. So I'm thankful that I'm forgetful that way, and I can forgive easy because I'm so forgetful. But anyway, we wouldn't typically speak angry to somebody else or get angry at quite the speed that we do with our spouse, because again, their words can hurt, our words can hurt them, so we have to to be careful in it. And I try to think of it like this, and I don't know if I'm going to get ahead of myself, but it doesn't really matter. So if, I went and lost my train of thought there. I know it happens. If we were to come home into our house one evening and we've got some kind of a bad attitude, and we come walking into our door and there is some toys laying around from the kids playing, the dishes aren't quite doing, maybe there's a laundry basket there, but over in the corner of the living room, Jesus is sitting over there in his white robe with his long blonde hair and blue eyes and beard trimmed just right and all that kind of stuff, like Jesus at the promise. Anyway, if Jesus were sitting there and you recognized and knew that was Jesus, would you still get mad and say mean things to your wife about the way that the house is? And I'm thinking that whenever I have tried to keep the mindset throughout the day that Jesus is always there with me, he's always paying attention to what I'm doing, he's always there watching, and I'm trying to honor him, then I find out that it's a lot easier to not get quite so mad and to not say mean things, because I start thinking about Jesus and what his reaction would be to the way that I'm treating one of his children. And even whenever it's our spouse, it's still a child of God, and we have to be careful that we're not saying mean things. And the verse goes on to say there that that anger doesn't produce the righteousness of God. And it doesn't. Whenever we start getting angry, we're by no means producing righteousness. We're causing more and more anger. And I wanted to quote Yoda from Star Wars here and say that anger leads to hate and hate leads to suffering. And whenever I think about that quote, I think, man, that is like very true. Because if we start getting angry, then we can build up and we can start hating someone. And then that's going to cause us more problems where there's suffering. And that's not a good place to be in, because if we start getting angry and we start to hate someone, we also learn in God's Word that hating someone is the same as killing them, and we should definitely not murder someone. So we shouldn't start to hate someone and start to, like the anger of Cain stirred up and started off with anger, and then it became hatred towards his brother, and then he ended up killing his brother, and that's not a place that we want to be. So we have to learn to forgive before we let ourselves start to get that mad. Like if we start to feel angry, we've got to stop and we've got to apologize and we have to forgive. We have to constantly forgive. And we're going to talk about that more next week. So Jesus was able to forgive us for all of our faults, and it should be relatively simple for us to forgive something with our spouse. So to summarize this whole thing up, I want to read James 1:19 and 20 one more time. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear. We need to listen. Be slow to speak. We need to speak in a loving manner every time that we open up our mouth to speak after we've thought about what we need to say. We need to be slow to anger, because anger can lead to hate, and that can lead to more frustration. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. It's not going to make us any better in God's eyes for sure whenever we start being angry. It's not going to produce any righteousness. We need to be communicating in a loving way to everyone, and especially to our spouse. So this week, what I'd like to do is take the time to write this down, type it up, however you want to do it, but get that verse in front of yourself. Put it onto your bathroom mirror, if that helps, steering wheel of the car, tape it up there, your desk or whatever, and learn that verse for communication. Put it on your front door on the outside, so when you walk in, you see that. Whatever you need to do to keep that verse in front of you, and each time that you see the verse and you read it, just take the time to just pray to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need your help. I need your help to be quick to hear and to be slow to speak and to be slow to get angry. I don't want to do that, so help me do that today with everyone that I come in contact with, and especially with my spouse, with your husband or wife, because we need to put this stuff into practice. And that brings me to the next verse there in James, or actually verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. If we listen to this stuff and we read this verse every day and we dwell on it it and we pray and we ask God to help us, but we don't actually put it into practice, then everything that we're learning, everything that we can go through in the Bible is going to have no effect on our life. And that's what the Bible is about the impact that Jesus can have on our lives. But we have to put things into practice. We can't just read it and let it go by the wayside. We need to be doers of the word and pay attention and listen and grow that way. So think about what you're saying this week and try to keep it true and loving and encouraging. So also wake up each day and just ask Jesus right then, even before you read the verse, to help you in your communication with your spouse. And I certainly, in the last 34-ish days, I think, that I've been doing the Love Dare, I've definitely been having to wake up in the morning and just pray and ask Jesus to help me to put the things that I'm reading, the verses that they're using, into my life. And I also need to ask for help to complete each one of the dares. And I've missed some of the dares here and there, but I do try to do those every day. The last thing that I want to say is whenever we talk about this and we talk about communication, and we talked about how it comes from our heart, the things that are in our heart are what's going to come out of our mouth, we have to make sure that our heart is in the right place. And the right place is whenever we're putting Jesus there, whenever we're keeping Him first, whenever we're trying to be obedient to what He wants for our lives, and whenever we're focused on Him and Him as the primary part of our lives, that's going to help what's in our heart to be good things and be truthful, and that's what's going to help to have those things come out of our mouth whenever we're speaking to our spouse. So put Jesus first. And if you don't know what that means or you want to talk about that, then I would love to talk to anyone about that. But put Him first so that your heart is pure and the things that come out are the things that He wants to hear. And with that, I'm going to let us get out of here. I'm going to pray for us. Patrick, is there any kind of song in there that you can play? Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You so much for today. I thank You for this church building. I thank You for all the members of Cornerstone. And I just ask that You would be with all the members that couldn't be here today, all the folks that are out and about traveling or doing different things. I want to lift up Shelly and Jenna for whatever sickness that they've got, that You would just heal them up quickly, bring them back to health so that they can get back here to the church and be part of the body once again, but also so that they can feel better and be well. So we all just want to lift them up right now to You for complete and total healing. We want to just ask that You would be with our friends and family and those that are on our hearts and in need right now. But God, this morning specifically, we just want to ask that You would help us in our communication with our spouse. Help us to learn how to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger, and build up our marriages, and help us to have strong marriages where people want to know where we find our strength, and we can point back to Jesus and say that that's where it comes from. God, I want to thank You for Jesus, that You sent Him to die on the cross and that He never did give up on His bride. I want to ask that You would put that in our hearts to do the same thing. Help us to be strong. Help us to love more. Help us to love our wives unconditionally and love our husbands unconditionally. That our words would be positive and true and encouraging, and that we would learn to be better followers of You, because if we follow You, then You will help us to communicate better. God, thank You for my wife, and I know that every other guy here is thankful for his wife this morning too. I know that the ladies are thankful for their husbands, but God, we just need You to be the biggest part of our marriage. We want You to be the center of our marriage. God, thank You for our kids, for what it is that each one of us have made with our marriage. Help us to just honor You with our lives, with our marriages, in every way, with everything. Help us to be a light in this dark world where so many don't have You. Just help us to point back to You at every time. Help us to hide behind the cross so that that's always out in the front. Help us to love You more. God, as we walk out of these doors today, we just ask that you would go with us and that you would make us strong and you make us bold and you make us yearn for your word. Be with us whenever we're doing our best to not mess up. God, we thank you for your forgiveness whenever we do mess up. But we just ask that you would be the biggest presence in our lives today and every day. In Jesus' name.